Of what the world would call essentials, Enderby had few to pack. It was the bathful of verse that was the trouble. Kneeling in front of it, as though, and here he laughed sardonically, he worshipped his own work, he began to bundle it into the larger of his two suitcases, separating, with reasonable care, manuscripts from sandwich crusts, cigarette packets, and the cylinders of long-used toilet rolls. But he found so many old poems which he had quite forgotten that he could not resist reading them through, open-mouthed, as afternoon ticked on towards dusk. He had modified drastically his original plan of departure, his aim now being to catch some evening train, Jack permitting, to Victoria, spend the night in a hotel, and then, about midday, follow some new spoke to the south coast. He felt, to live near the sea, this being a great, wet, slobbering stepmother, or green, dogmatic church, which he could keep his eye on. Nothing, at least, insidious about it. It was amazing what things he had written, especially in his youth. Pastiches of Whitman, Charles Doughty, an attempted translation of the Duino elegies, limericks, even the beginning of a verse play about Copernicus. There was one sonnet in Sprung Rhythm and Alexandrines, which dated from the days of his love and envy of the proletariat. He read the sestet with horror and wonder. When the violet air blooms about him, then at last he can wipe his hands sheer free of swink, monarch of hours ahead, hearty he eats, and full he sits to pull at his pipe. Warm at the kitchen glow, the courts and sport news read. He argues, sups in the lion vault to a plate of tripe, or crisp chips, home returns, then climbs to a dreamless bed. Dead on this homecoming queue, Jack came home, his hands sheer free of salesman swink, ready for Enderby. Enderby was aroused from the past by the gorilla two-fist beat on the door. Come on, Enderby, out of it. On the job, Enderby. Come and be bashed, you poetic bloody nuisance. Have you got my knife?